Hello, everyone. Welcome to Loikomania episode 19. My name is Pat Loika, and things kind of fell apart this week. I had originally planned to have some guests along. We were going to do a roundtable discussion and talk about the New York Comic Con that's coming up later this week. But unfortunately, plans fell through. Everyone else had stuff going on. And, basically everything leading up to the New York Comic Con got really hectic. So we will have to talk to these other folks another time. Maybe it's in a post-con show. Who knows? But anyway, I'm very thankful for the feedback I received from last week's episode with John Suntress. And you can expect more of those types of talks, and I'll probably be doing better with my interviews. I've been studying some John Suntress classics so I can learn and probably execute the interview better. But let's get past that. This is going to be a rather short show, so I'll just kind of get right to the point. And I have a couple of movies that I want to talk about real quickly, and then I'll jump into some stuff, a couple comic books that I've read, and get into the New York Comic Con. So let's get right to it. In the last couple of weeks, actually, I wanted to bring it up last week with John, but since we got wrapped up in our own conversation, I was going to tell him I had seen the David Fincher and Aaron Sorkin movie, The Social Network, and I actually saw it a week earlier than everyone else, which is, you know, which is pretty badass. But, you know, I'm putting this podcast out a little too late for that. But I did see the movie, and I was very, very happy with that movie. I was very pleased to the point where I can say without any doubt that it's one of my top three movies for this year, if not my number one movie of this year. It's very well written. Acting was fantastic. There's a lot of really, really great scenes there, a lot of great character stuff. And it's a very fascinating story. I mean, in the outside, it looks like it's a story about the origins of Facebook. But really, it's really about ideas, friends, and, trying to beat people to a punch when it comes to a good idea, which is what Mark Zuckerberg appeared to have done in that movie. But it's something that really took me by surprise, because I wasn't really sure I would care much about a movie about Facebook. I mean, come on. You know, it's Facebook. Everyone uses it, and it's just there. But the idea behind it, where it came from, is a very fascinating story. And it's kind of, and I like the fact that the movie took it came from three different points of view. And I'm not gonna spoil anything if you haven't seen it. You know, especially if you're not aware of the origins of that social networking site. But, you know, it's really the origins of that, and it takes the points of view of three different camps. You know, there's Mark Zuckerberg, the Winklevoss twins, and Divya Narendra, and Eduardo Saverin, who was the CFO or partner for Zuckerberg in the beginning of Facebook. So it's really about those characters, and it's really fascinating stuff. And Jesse Eisenberg, I couldn't believe that dude could pull off a role like that, because he was I forgot that that's the same kid who was in Zombieland and in Adventureland. So I was very, very surprised by his performance. Really well done. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be against getting nominated for an Oscar or something like that for his performance here. And same goes for most of the actors in that movie. And Andrew Garfield's turn as Eduardo Saverin really sold me on him being the new Spider-Man. So this is a great way to see him before he dons the red and blue costume, and get to see him act and get to see how he handles emotions, because he's really, really fantastic in that role. At any rate, go see The Social Network while you still can. It made number one in the box office, which is great, but you never know how long movies are out these days. And, you know, there's always like some big blockbuster trying to top the other one every week, so check that out. Another movie that premiered the same week as that is Let Me In, which is a remake of the Swedish film Let the Right One In. At first, I was against the idea of them remaking this movie, because it was, you know, it's a great movie. You know, Let the Right One In. If you've seen it, you know it's the best vampire movie that's come out in a while. And I was rather apprehensive about them doing a remake, because you know that movie is fairly new and it's quite good on its own, and it's easy to for anyone to be able to get a hold of. But they, you know, Matt Reeves of Cloverfield, and you know, and various other productions got involved and wrote and directed this remake, and I was really surprised by how much I liked it. Simply put, they did more work on the characters, which is always a plus as far as stories like this go. Characters are great, probably better, and some of the relationships are shaped better as well. Some of the relationships are more explicit. Some of them are, you know, it's literally handled better. Like, everything that they did well in Let the Right One In, they improved upon here. And there are some scenes that were in the that were originally in the original version. That was rather redundant, saying original twice. But there are scenes in the original version that were taken out, which really weren't needed to begin with. So it's basically, you know, they a trimmed down, leaner version of the original movie, with some damn good acting. Chloe Grace Moretz, I believe is her name. She was Hit Girl in Kick-Ass. She plays Abby, the vampire, and she was really fascinating in that role. This girl's gonna be really, really great, you know, down the road, and she's doing fine right now, but if she continues in this role, she's gonna be probably one of the best actresses we'll see, that at least we'll see grow up right in front of us. She was really, really captivating in her role, and all the character actors that were involved, they're all great. Like I said, I did not have any high hopes for this thing, but I was pleasantly surprised, and I would highly recommend that people check it out. So if it's called Let Me In, and you could probably still catch it in theaters right now. As far as comics go, there's only one really notable book I want to talk about, and that's Captain America number 610, or is it 611? I don't remember. It's the final chapter of the Baron Zemo versus Bucky story, and it was phenomenal, because when the arc first started, I wasn't quite sure what to think of Baron Zemo's motivations behind him going after Bucky. And keep in mind, there might be some spoilers here, because it's hard to talk about the plot of this thing without accidentally spoiling anything, so I'm just warning you right now, I might slip into a spoiler here and there. At any rate, Zemo's motivations fascinated me here, because he talks about Bucky not being able, you know, how Bucky had it easy. And rightfully so, you know, Zemo has every right to be mad, because when Zemo kind of became a good guy of sorts, he really did have a bit of a hard road to get to where he was. And here we have Bucky, who was an assassin. You know, he was a Winter Soldier after all, who was an assassin and had committed all these heinous crimes, all these murders, and all these assassinations. And here he is, you know, running around with a shield and playing Captain America. And Zemo basically reminded him, you know, you can't just do that. You know, it's not, you know. And Zemo was coming from a different place than what I thought he would be. He was, you know, he it's not over the whole daddy thing, even though he does torment Bucky with some of the stuff that he went through before, you know, before he was frozen in ice. And Zemo, it's, I don't know what his final end game is going to be. I don't know if he's going to reappear again, but I really like how complex this character has become. Ed Brubaker really, really did his homework here, because the last time we saw Zemo, we weren't quite sure if he's a bad guy or a good guy anymore. He's in between, you know. He's more of an anti-hero, and we got to see more of that. I mean, he seems a bit more twisted now since then, but I think he's rather tormented by the fact that this guy, this Winter Soldier guy, gets to be Captain America. You know, I think he's tormented by that. And once again, I'm very, very fascinated by the character, and I want to see more of Zemo. I would love to see a Zemo series, and preferably written by Ed Brubaker, because right now, Ed seems to get the character. He picked up right where Fabian Nicieza left off, and he did a fascinating job just making this character into something more than just the son of a Nazi, you know, who has a mad-on for Captain America. Now he has a mad-on for Captain America for a completely different reason, and you know what? It kind of makes sense. the next storyline, the trial of Captain America, also looks phenomenal. I saw the preview pages. It's like Daniel Acuna is doing some art here, right after his Black Widow stint, which I absolutely enjoyed. I'm not sure if Jackson Butch Geist will be returning for this arc as well, but Mr. Geist has done some fantastic work here. I really like the old school sensibilities of his storytelling. I mean, old school is such a crude term, but you know, it's a very classical storytelling style. Of course, his panel layouts are phenomenal. There's a two-page spread that I don't want to ruin for anyone that really captures how great Mr. Geist is with what he does. Some of that is a very tension-filled two-page spread that I think everyone who's looking into doing comic art or illustration should study, just because the way the tension mounts up with each panel going from left to right and down and up to down, it's just really, really well done. And I'm sure the script had partly to do with that, but of course you need to have a good artist to be able to convey that feeling as you're reading through that, through those pages. So, Captain America, really solid book, and bravo, Ed Brubaker and Butch Geist, because this is phenomenal stuff. At any rate, I'm going to be closing up in a second here. I just wanted to say, you can find me at the New York Comic Con. I'll be roaming around. You can find me very easily. If you want to meet me in person, you can tweet at me at twitter.com/patloika. And depending on what I'm doing, I'll more than likely run into you. Be sure to check out my Flickr feed at flickr.com/patloika, where I'll be posting photos, or my blog at patloika.com, which I will be updating throughout the weekend. And that should be it for now. Really excited for the con. Really excited to see all my buddies, all my pals from the podcast and from all the various boards and from Facebook and everywhere else. It's going to be a good time, and it's the last big show of the year, and I can't think of any better place, or I can't think of any better people to spend that last con with than the people I'm going to see in New York. So, everyone, take care, and I'll be back next week, and we will talk about the post-con stuff, and I will talk about some of the stuff that I've been up to during the con and what I'll be doing right after, because we're going to be participating. I am going to be involved in the launch of a new comic news or geek news site, whatever you want to call it. But I will get into that next week. So until then, you guys take care and keep enjoying your comics and your movies and everything else, because that's what you should do. Bye.